What is up?
Oh my god!
Welcome to another episode of Video Game Bang, where we clearly have our shit together.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were doing it. I didn't understand.
I know. We have to have a conversation beforehand, Emma, so we know who's going to be hosting the show. Welcome to a new episode, everybody. This is the Video Game Bang podcast, brought to you by Energy Esports, Oblivion Comics and Coffee, home of Emma's Cosplay 101 class and Curtis's Comic Corner. Alliteration. Also sponsored by Vast GG and Mainframe USA. We have a great show for you guys tonight. We are talking about villainry. Before we get into that, if he was a villain, he would be a bearded one.
Corey
Vincent.
That was weak.
No bearded villains, are there?
Yeah.
Is there? I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Neither could I. That's why I did.
Everyone with a beard is a villain.
Yikes.
A microphone fiend? I've been called that before.
If she was a villain, she would be the scary tyrant. Everyone dies villain. Emma Skies. Am I wrong?
No, you're exactly right.
Boom. Exactly. And he could never be a villain. He's way too nice.
No way.
Curtis Fisher, everybody.
I might be the most dangerous villain because you don't.
That's true.
You'll never see like me coming.
Oh. Wow.
The little Mandarin shout out right there. We'll talk more about Marvel later.
That was creepy. That gave me chills.
Never see. That was so good.
Did you see Kingsman Golden Circle?
Yes.
Yeah. What's her name?
Julianne Moore.
Yeah. Who I thought was somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And how like perky and happy she is, but evil as shit. She's like laughing as she's grinding somebody alive in a meat grinder.
She'll kill you with a smile on her face.
Yeah. That's creepy. Those are the creepy villains.
Rufus.
Before we get into the web talk topic of today, we have to talk about what everybody else is talking about, and that is the end game crossover in Fortnite. I'm just kidding. End game, everybody, is officially out. We are now officially in the end game. The joke is now complete.
Yep. We are not spoiling anything.
We're
FYI.
Not spoiling.
No,
yes.
No spoilers.
No
in this
spoilers
episode.
In this episode. And let's just, you know, just put this out there. Don't be a dick. Don't spoil it for everybody. Like, just, there's so many people out there spoiling it. There's like a GIF out there that Emma was showing us before of like a scantily clad woman in a like Wonder Woman costume. So, of course, you know, guys are going to click on that.
Wait. Guys? I mean, it's 2019. Anybody could look at it. But continue.
And anyway, when you click on it, it is the end of the movie.
It's the end of the movie, and it just goes over like exactly what happens. And it's
so don't click on that.
Don't
shit.
Click on it. Don't play Fortnite because apparently Fortnite is like a bunch of 10-year-olds going into every chat room they can and spoiling the movie.
If you're playing Fortnite or if you're streaming it, like people will just come into your chat and be like, "This is what happens. This is the big thing that happens. Here's all of the So don't fucking do shit.
Yeah.
And see this movie as soon as you can if you're worried about spoilers because somebody on the internet is going to get to you.
I thought last week when we put the message out there, the internet would actually listen.
Why?
I mean, who would be this treacherous? Like, this movie.
People are assholes.
11
People
years
suck.
Worth of love went into watching these films, and
they
then.
They don't care.
They don't care. Yeah. And Fortnite's the worst because there's the crossover event. So by nature, you're going to want to go in there and play. But then when you're on the bus before you drop, you could hear everybody's mic, and it's never been a beautiful place anywhere.
Oh,
all you hear
it.
Is the N-word said by 8-year-olds over
Why
and over
Why is that feature still a thing? That seems like a horrible feature. Who wants to hear 100 other people at once?
Nobody.
We have content coming out every week for Fortnite, but they can't fix that.
Right.
That's a callback to last episode. Okay, but now that we have that out of the way, endgame.
No spoilers, of course.
But go see this movie.
Go see it.
Go see it two times, maybe three times.
Four times.
Because the first time, you're just going to be emotional and you're going to miss things. And then the second time,
you're going to be more emotional.
And then the third time, you might be okay.
When I saw Infinity War, I cried so much more the second time I saw it than I did the first.
Really?
Because I feel like the first time I saw it, I was just like in shock.
Okay.
And I couldn't process what was happening. And then the second time, I was like, oh no.
I had just that feeling of pure happiness. Like, there's so many scenes from that movie where it's just big dopey smile.
Oh, yeah. The whole time. But I'm not going to lie. I'm going to come clean. I did tear up a little bit in this one.
Brother, there's nothing to feel bad about. I would be more concerned if you didn't cry.
Exactly. But yeah. Here's the thing, though, is I don't know how much of it was from the movie or how much of it was because Emma was like in tears
getting
next to me.
Secondhand emotional.
And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I feel bad. Like, she's sitting here like crying, and I'm like, I'm okay.
I cry at everything, and I was losing it. Like, I silent cry in a movie because I'm not a monster.
She did.
I silent cry. But I am very easily losing all of my shit.
There's one point, again, no spoilers, but there's one point where Emma just looks at me and, like, mouths, and I was like, because I realized what was going to happen, and I was just like, oh, no. That hit me pretty hard.
Just crying all the time.
Go see this movie, Curtis, Corey. What did you guys think of it? You guys went and saw it. How many times have you guys each seen it?
I've seen it twice. And I'd say easily 10 out of 10.
Yeah,
I don't give that rating too easily, but 10 out of 10, I've seen it twice already, and I will go see it at least a third time. It's so good, and just everything I wanted out of this movie came true. So I'm so happy. I feel like a kid again when I was watching it.
Yeah, I'm super biased. I try, as much as possible, I try not to let the fanboy in me, like, usually determine how I feel about only so much, you know, like, encourage certain things, but they got me on this one. They got me. And for everything that, you know, anyone did have any problems with, I totally give them a pass, but there's not that much. So, yeah, this is 13 out of 10 for me, for sure.
I got to be honest, too. I went into this the same way Emma usually goes into movies, where I didn't watch any trailers and stuff like that. I got to tell you, that's the way to do it.
It's a good way to do it.
Like, I felt like I was seeing everything for the first time. Everything was like a surprise. I had no theories. I went into it without any, like...
No, like, preconceptions.
Preconceptions of, like, how the movie's going to be. I didn't look at any reviews or anything. It was just... fresh. I had no idea how they were going to do this, and it was great.
I feel like even for people who watched the trailers, they did such a good job with what they showed. Where, like, in the first 15 minutes, anything you saw in the trailer was basically kind of thrown out the window of how any notion I thought I had was erased very quickly. And that doesn't happen a lot, especially with trailers. Top to bottom, such a good movie. I can't wait to talk about it more. We are going to do a full spoiler version for our Patreon exclusive members. So after this show, if you guys are watching live on Twitch, we're going to probably not do an after show. We'll probably hang around just for a minute, say hello, and then we're going to log off and record a VGB spoiler like rant, because we held each other back from talking about it, and I just want to hear what they want to say.
Yeah.
So we'll be putting that on very shortly on our Patreon. And thank you to all the new members we have. You see behind Emma Skies here, we did our induction ceremony. Everybody who does the $5 a month has been inducted to the Wall of Bang, and we appreciate it. And we got Game of Thrones on fucking tomorrow. Like, this is, we are living in geek heaven. Star Wars is ending this year. We got
Star Wars isn't ending. The Skywalker saga is ending,
but same thing with Avengers. Like, this was a big ending for this whole first saga, and then we got Game of Thrones. I'm blessed. We're all blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
I knew one of you fuckers was gonna say it.
Jeez,
it's aggressive. So, in light of seeing this and seeing, you know, Thanos, we thought that we would come up with villains in video games that really stuck with us, whether they were just like really powerful or they had some sort of attachment that really just kind of stuck with us on made them great villains in our eyes. So we each picked three villains and the video games that they're from. And so this web talk is just going to be talking about badass villains.
I like it.
Who wants to start?
Curtis.
Oh, alrighty. I've been volunteered. I'll start off with Master Bison, M. Bison from Street Fighter II. Me growing up so much with the beat 'em ups and the fighting games, and he was so powerful. Like just I remember just getting to him, and I remember how difficult it was just to get past Sagat, like, you know, the underboss, and Sagat was the main boss from the original Street Fighter. So you get past him, and this dude, he does all these moves where he's breaking the game. He can like angle in towards you and like smash you on your head, and then he like bounces back off of that and like hits you with his foot and just like doing all these crazy moves. And I just remember being so overwhelmed, like, why does this game hate me? There's not enough quarters in the world to beat this guy. You're like, no way. My dad won't have a retirement plan if, you know, me trying to beat this guy. So I just remember him being like just so difficult. And that was like really one of the first times I had to like consciously I had to figure out a pattern of something that was like ever changing. You know, not like a level where you can clearly see it. Like, I didn't know what movie was gonna do next.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So I really had to like figure things out. And I just remember the satisfaction when I beat him and I got to see like Ryu's like story after the game. M. Bison has to be my number one because he was one of the first people I beat. And ever since then, like, he's just been. And Raul Julia gave one of. I know this Street Fighter movie was a terrible movie, but Raul Julia, that was one of his last performances before he died. And as bad as that movie is, that's one of the best performances, like, of my childhood. It was incredible.
Is Bison more like a villain that you like because of his difficulty in the game? Or, you know, like, what motivates him? Because I never knew.
Bison, the backstory, I mean, really, he's kind of a typical, you know, psychopath, ruler who believes that there's a utopia that he can build, and he's trying to basically take over the world and, you know, create a new world order in his utopia, you know, similar to a certain popular villain that we kind of referenced earlier. But that was his motivation. He basically wanted to create a new world order and a utopia. And of course, like most psychopaths, he wanted to do it through violence and not giving anybody a choice.
So he got that psycho power.
That psycho crusher.
Psycho crusher.
Yeah.
So Webb, what's your first one?
So my first one is Andross from Star Fox 64.
Heck yeah.
All the way back. I talked a lot about Star Fox 64, like being a big part of my childhood. And that was, I think that was the first boss that I beat. And it didn't matter how many times I beat him. Like, you could kind of memorize the patterns and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it was just so challenging. There were so many things you had to do. Getting that final level of going through like the tunnel and dodging all the obstacles and stuff, and then, you know, you had to speed up, you had to break, you had to, you know, barrel roll through the, and then just fighting him at the end. I remember it being so satisfactory, like, not just the first time I beat him, but every time I beat him after that, because it just felt like such a chore, you know, if you will, to get to him and then beat him. It was good.
I can't remember what he, like, was. What did he look like?
He's just like a floating head. And like once you finally get to him, he's just this giant floating head and like shooting things at you out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And I think he does, like, if I remember right, it was like a, not only does he shoot like obstacles, but then he does like the fire thing where it's like a stream of fire, and you have to like duck and bob.
I felt like his eyes were missiles or something.
His eyes,
like that,
I think
too.
He did shoot eyes out of his,
Shoot eyes out of his missiles?
Shot eyes out of his missiles.
You know he did. You gotta dodge his eyes. Don't worry about those missiles.
Yeah, fuck those missiles. It's the eyes you had to worry about.
Good lord.
Emma.
So my first one, I think I would say, is Pagenmin, or Pagenmin, depending on how you want to pronounce it. But Pagenmin from Far Cry 4.
Okay.
Have any of you played Far Cry 4?
No, I have not played Far Cry 4.
What is wrong with all
I've
you, Corey?
Part of Far Cry 5.
No, I.
Oh last, my god.
Last one I played was 3.
Good lord.
And I didn't even beat that one.
Good lord.
You know what? You're absolutely right. There's no excuse to not beat a Far Cry game because, like, to their credit, they make insanely good villains.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember, who was the one on Far Cry 3?
Voss.
So demented, it was so well acted, so I can only imagine what they did in 4. What was this dude all about?
So, Pagenmin, and there's been a lot of comparisons between him and Voss, because Voss was the one that came before. And you'll get people that say both. There's people that say, like, nothing will ever top Voss, even Pagenmin, and then there's people that say he was, like, even a good step up. So I haven't played 3 yet, so I can't compare him to Voss, but he feels like the most Bond villain game villain that I've ever come across. Like, it's one of those things where, like, for the person that you're playing, he does not dislike you. He actually likes the character because technically is your stepfather.
Oh,
don't really know that. But he is the tyrannical ruler of a country called Karat. And you, the whole thing kind of starts because you show up because your mother has died and you want to go back to where she was born because she wanted her ashes spread there. So you're just on a trip to spread your mom's ashes and go home. And then you end up in this civil war conflict in this country. You know, you get captured by a Pagenman when you get there who, you know, has set up a thing. Basically, he knew you were coming and he set up a thing. And the way it starts is like your bus that you're on, you know, to go wherever you're going gets shot up. You get kidnapped. And when he sees you and you get to him and he finds out that they shot the bus, he like straight up bloody murders the guy that did it. Oh, he's like, I told you to capture him and bring him here, not try to kill him. And he like right in front of you just like stabs a pen into this guy's throat like 15 times right in front of you. Like that, it like sets the tone that like, oh, he's like a charming, nice, oh, he's a crazy motherfucker. And like that tone stays throughout. Like he's always very nice to you. Like he loses his temper a couple times, but it's very like it's almost fatherly. And it's crazy. It's really weird. But he is, and he's incredibly well acted, much like Voss. Like the thing that sticks out isn't necessarily like what he did as a villain, but it's more so the acting behind it, because Troy Baker voices him, who is just amazing at everything that he does.
Oh, wait, he's the voice actor?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Troy Baker is incredible.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of my favorite, like, top three roles that I've ever seen Troy Baker in. So if you haven't played Far Cry 4, I really, really, really recommend it. The game itself is really fun, but Pagenman is a fantastic villain. He's so good. He's just, like, every time you're talking to him, it feels like you're talking to a Bond villain. It's going to, like, tell you all his secret plans.
Yeah, he's a monologue.
Just, like, has that demeanor about him.
Is that the Far Cry where you can, in theory, beat it in 30 seconds?
Yeah, I mean, they all kind of have that.
Do they?
I think 3 has it, too. I know 5 has it. And, yeah, if you... There's a part in the beginning after you get captured and you're sitting in front of him and he leaves the room and you can either, you're supposed to escape. Like after he leaves the room, you get out of the chair and you escape and you get down to the resistance. But you can just sit there and wait for him to come back.
And then
it takes like 15 minutes and he'll just come back.
And if he comes back, you get ending credits.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's 5? How do you do that in 5?
You played 5, right?
I played like half of it.
So do you remember in the beginning when you go to the church with the cops and you have to arrest him?
Mm-hmm.
You can choose not to. If you just stand there and you don't arrest him, the game ends. You leave, the cops walk away, and the game ends.
I remember that because I remember going, I wonder if I have to arrest him.
You don't. If you wait like 10, 15 minutes, you'll just walk away. Like you guys decide not to do anything, you walk away, and the credits roll.
That's wild.
Damn.
So, that's kind of a Far Cry thing.
Yeah.
Oh, he was another good villain. Like they just have good villains.
He was another, because it was the same thing. He was
creeped the shit out of me. Sociopath. But yeah, so go ahead. What was your first one, Corey?
Now, this one is, I'm going to start soft. I'll start easy. I'll start nostalgic too. Just because I put so much time into the game and I thought he was written extremely well for the time. Twisted Metal 2 was a game I put in an incredible amount of time into.
Yeah.
And the villain's name was Calypso. He was the guy who ran this tournament. Basically, if you don't know the story of Twisted Metal 2, surprisingly, there's like not much of a story, but it's this guy named Calypso who wanted to do this like destruction derby tournament thing in like a post-apocalyptic world where if you win, he has the power to grant you any wish you want. So all the different drivers have different motivations. Some of them are stupid. Like the guys who drive the monster truck, they're like these two stoner dudes. And when they win, they say, you know, we want to fly, bro. And then Calypso's like, all right. And he does this big Calypso thing. And he's like, you guys now have the power to fly. And they're like, sick. And they jump off the building and they fall to their death and die. The game's very gory.
Good Lord.
And then he pulls some flight tickets out of his jacket. And he's like, oh, I got you guys the ability to fly wherever you wanted. Like, he fucks them over. He does that with everybody in the game.
Yeah.
They have these desires, and he finds a way to, like, twist them.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but there's a few characters in there, like, who get over on him. Like, if you use Minion, who's, like, this hidden character, they come and murder him. And one of the characters is like his daughter and he has this emotional moment. So it's so many different things. This was back in the day, like before you could capture what was happening. So I had a VCR. A buddy taught me how to hook a VCR up to my TV.
Okay.
So that every time I won, I hit the record button. So there was I had a tape that had all the endings on it.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
And we would like share it because he was better at some characters than I was. So yeah. like he would record like a few and then like, oh, I got Grasshopper, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have really good memories of that. And it's such a shallow game. And but for some reason, I will always remember, I am Calypso and this is Twisted Metal.
Oh, I love that game.
Oh, so good.
All right. Round two.
Round two.
Round two.
Fight.
Back to me. For this one, one of them kind of got switched up. I'm going to say Master Hand from wow, seriously? Super Smash Bros. Another one, that was one early on. I had taken out a few other villains by that time, but... I mean, with Super Smash Bros. Being one of my favorite games, naturally, Master Hand. And Master Hand, it was weird. I didn't have as much trouble with Master Hand. I don't know how I was so surprised when I got there and it was like these two big, well, first one hand and then these two hands coming in.
Yeah.
Just like clapping you, beating you up, shooting lasers, just like crazy stuff.
Caught those hands.
Yeah, I caught those hands before I knew what that was.
I remember that because I remember being able to get all the way up to that point.
Yeah.
And just not being able to beat it. And I remember like when you're a kid and you go to stay with grandma for like, you know, a weekend or a week during summer. And so I just brought my N64 because I'm like, no, I'm beating this.
Dude, fuck that move where he goes up in the air, comes down and spins on
you.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that move, dude. You know, I think he was a great villain, but like the lore behind him is kind of fascinating too, because you know he's like a floating hand. You're like, well, that's not in any of the things, but like the original concept of Smash Bros, which they've kind of gotten away from, is the fact that these are just toys, and that the hand is like the child or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the master, the you know, controlling the whole thing.
Right.
So it's kind of like you were the Master Hand the whole way.
Yeah,
you
know? I had to defeat myself. Where's Nexus when we need her? We're having an existential crisis.
Yeah,
but no, that's a good call out. People forget that. And that's part of... I did like the fact that they started bringing some of those stages out to kind of be a reminder, like the toy stage and the stage where, like, you know, mom comes and walks by the room and, like, gives the laser eyes and all that stuff.
Yeah. But
Master Hand, man. Master freaking Hand.
All right, so for my second one, I'm gonna go with Doc Ock from Spider-Man PS4.
Hey,
not bad.
I think it's been long enough to we can kind of spoil ending of the game.
Hell
so
yeah.
I picked him because he's one of those villains that doesn't start out as a villain, and not only does he not start, he starts out as like one of your closest friends, your mentor. You look up to him. And, like, throughout the game, you're just kind of worried about him because he's trying so hard. And he's the type of character that I think make some of the most relatable and best villains, because they become a villain out of desperation.
Yeah.
Like they have something that's on the line, and this is their last shot, and it gets taken away from them, and they just crack. And then they just say, fuck it. Like, then I tried doing it the right way. I tried being nice. I tried, you know, playing by the rules. And this is what it got me. So then I'm going all out. I'm going bad. And that's how he kind of is. And, you know, in addition to the fact that him not listening to you as Peter, when you say, like, hey, like, these neuro, you know, attachments aren't really working that well. And kind of screws him up in the head. But it is such a great villain, I think, because you just kind of feel they played a good, they acted it really well. So you as a player even feel backstabbed, just like Peter did. And then the final fight is him, and you have to like kill your mentor, basically.
Yeah.
And it was just such a good, like, memorable scene, memorable fight. And like I said, he makes one of the best villains because it's the one that doesn't start out as a villain.
They did a good job of making him kind of sympathetic too. Like, I remember getting towards the end of it and just feeling bad for him.
More
than anything, especially in that last conflict, you're just like, oh man, when he's like all kind of on his last leg, and you're still trying to like
help him.
It was heartbreaking.
It is.
They did a really good job on that, and it's crazy because you know it's coming.
Yeah.
As soon as you see him in the thing, you're like, oh, totally a bad guy. But then they just like, they, even though you know it's coming, they still kind of hit you in the feels where you care.
Right. Exactly.
And that's pretty rare.
And then the fact that he he, like, towards, like, maybe it's, like, about the middle of the game when he's the one that basically gathers the Sinister Six to beat you.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, my God. Like, it's, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
What killed me was when you find out that he knew all along that you were Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And he still tried to kill you.
Yeah.
And he didn't care. Because, like, that's Peter's kind of, like, last ditch. Like, no, 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 it's me, it's me, it's me. And he's like, I know. I have known. And I'm still going to kill you.
Yeah.
That one hurt.
Oh, God.
Good old Otto Octavius.
He was just in a bad place.
Yeah.
He was in a murdery place.
There we go.
You know, we've all been there. It happens. It's understandable.
You get hungry. You haven't eaten in a while. It's murdery.
I'm interested what Emma has for number two, because that first one was a doozy.
It was. I'm a fan. So my number two is going to be GLaDOS.
Okay, going
the Portal games.
Going the comedy route here.
I love GLaDOS. I love her. I love the writing. Yeah. I love the acting. I love the voice acting on her. Like, everything about it is perfect.
So explain it for, because I've played both, and I've beat both, and I know GLaDOS is hilarious and stuff, but I just don't associate her as a villain, but because I don't know the story.
Well, her whole thing is, I mean, first of all, she tries to kill you all the time. She's always trying to kill you. She's putting turrets out there to shoot you. She doesn't, you know, you're breaking her... Essentially her. You're breaking her because you're breaking the test that she's meant to run. And that's your whole goal, is you wake up in this test and you have to get the hell out. So you're breaking everything that she's meant to do, everything that she's meant to protect, everything that, you know, she was built for. And she loses it. Okay. But she's so fucking funny. She's such a bitch. Because she just spends the whole time, like, telling you that you're fat and your parents didn't love you and there's a birthday party in the next one. Oh, no, wait, you don't want to be friends, so there's no birthday party at all. But, like, her writing is just really, really funny.
The cake is a lie.
The cake is a lie. That's the biggest twist of them all.
Yeah.
There was never any cake. She promised you, and there's nothing. And it's just, she is a fucking joy to go through the game with, because there's nobody else in the game. In Portal 1,
it's
you and you're a mute, and it's her. So she's the only one you hear the entire time. In Portal 2, you know, you have Wheatley that's with you. You have the Cave Johnson voiceovers, and she actually becomes a friend because she gets turned into a potato, and you carry her around on your little gun, and she's your little potato friend. And I actually have a little set that you can attach to a real potato, and it powers the set, and you have yourself a little GLaDOS potato.
What?
Little potatoes.
That's cool.
It's my favorite. I love that thing.
Wasn't she in, like, a poker game? Yeah, I think they added her into this was a super underrated thing that they did, but Xbox 360, I believe, had a game called Poker Night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they made Poker Night 2, where they put in, like, characters from some of their other properties. And it was GLaDOS and Claptrap and a few others all together with, like, voice lines and stuff. Like,
that's cool.
Was such a cool crossover. And then she even crossed over into the, what's that giant mech movie? With the Jaegers?
Oh, Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim?
They use the voice actress for GLaDOS as the voice in the Jaegers.
With the same voice modulation.
Because, like, Guillermo del Toro loved Portal.
Yeah.
So
Oh my God.
He got her to be the voice in the Jaegers.
I need to go back and watch that.
Yeah, you'll notice it now that you know it and know to look for it, you'll notice it immediately. She also did the end credits song for Portal, which is fucking hilarious.
Gosh.
And they put that on Rock Band.
Yep.
And I played it all the time. And she's, like, she's just such a good villain. Like, because she knows, you know, she has one purpose in her robotic life. And it doesn't matter that this facility has been shut down for, you know, 1,000 fucking years or however long, you know, 50 years, whatever it's been. You know, she's just going about her life. You know, she's like, all right, it's time to test. We're here to test. And, it, you know, maybe you survive. Maybe you don't.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I liken her to, like, and this will be, like, I guess, kind of an honorable mention because I really doubt anyone's going to say it. But Stanley Parable. Did you guys ever play that one?
Yeah.
No,
the narrator in Stanley Parable?
I would consider him a villain.
But the narrator's not a villain.
I would consider him a villain. Mm. On some of the trees you go down, he's dark and he's twisted. Like, and it almost feels like he's orchestrating it. It's vague, but, like, he's a semi-impartial type of thing. If you guys haven't played Stanley Parable, it's probably less than $5 right now on Steam.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. It's a mindfuck
of a game. Did you play the beginner guide?
No.
That so it's made by the same people that did Stanley Parable, and that will fuck you up.
Is that after? Is that a follow-up?
No, it's not. It's not connected.
No, I mean, but did but it come it, in after, like, or was it before? I
think so.
Because it could have only they could have only made a better experience, and I loved Stanley
but
Parable.
It's very different, but similar. Like, it's more linear. Yeah. But yeah, so very, like, I can kind of see a connection. I just wouldn't call, I don't know that I would call him a villain, but yeah, GLaDOS is definitely one of the top villains in any game ever, in my opinion.
All right. Do I get to go again?
What's your round two?
So this is a playable villain for me that I treated as such through my playthrough of Grand Theft Auto 5, Trevor Phillips.
Okay.
Did you guys play GTA 5?
Which one
5,
is Trevor?
The redneck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I cannot remember the name of the actor. Stephen Ogg. That's right. This dude actually started picking. I just remember being just so enamored by his performance because, you know, GTA 5 has like the full motion body tracking, face tracking, and it's such so cinematic, especially through like through the campaign, through the cutscenes. So he's like fucked up.
Yeah,
I grew up in Rio Linda, and he is the nightmare. He's like all of Rio Linda put into a human being.
Yeah.
And like his whole arc is like making meth and stuff, and so, and then he gets brought onto your guys' crew for these heists and stuff. But he's the wild card.
Yeah.
And like he's murdering people through the cutscenes and like extorting people, and I mean you have to play as this guy to get through the game. So I was really conflicted. And then we're spoiling GTA 5, people. This has been plenty
been decades
long enough. Yeah. But the game gives you the option to kill him. For like the things he had done after you'd finish like the last heist, you have the choice to like off him or let him stay on. And there's an end game where you could, you know, keep playing, but if you kill him, he's done. You can't even use him as a character anymore. And I had to make that decision. And it was one of those things where I was like, no, he's a bad dude. He's done bad things. It outweighs the benefit I get of keeping him on my crew just to keep this villain around. So it was like pretty satisfying to take him out, even though it was only hurting my game experience. So in a way he was the ultimate villain because he's post, you know, post like existentially ruining my game play experience.
Right. True. It's like when somebody dies in what was it, Fallout 3, and it's like all the quests
disappear.
Yeah. Exactly. So I got I offed him and then that happened. But yeah, he's a great actor and I'm glad he got like noticed after this. He's in was in Walking Dead for a few seasons. Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Westworld for a while. So.
Oh, who is he in Westworld?
He's just kind of like the generic bad
cowboy
guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he looked. You know, they used his face and everything in the game. He looks just like him. Got to give shout outs to Trevor Phillips and just how shitty of a person he was in GTA 5. Last one, Curtis.
Back around to me.
Which all fighting right. game character you got for this one?
This is a game you fight in, but it's not a fighting game, technically. It is, Mr. X from Streets of Rage 2.
Mr. X? Okay, what, from Streets of Rage, not Resident Evil 2?
No, not Resident Evil. No, although I do, everybody knows that I love Resident Evil 2, the original. But no, Mr. X, it's a button-mashing game. You go around, you skate around, you beat people up, beat up, mailboxes and eat pieces of turkey.
Eat garbage to get your health back. Yeah,
Pretty much. Yeah. But then you do all that, and you get to this dude who all he has a bit. I just remember, like, he had on a suit. He had a slick comb back, and he had a Tommy gun.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a long night, everybody. Grab the Capri Suns. Grab all the goldfish you got. No Game Genie's going to help us tonight. But I just remember just having such a hard time with that dude because he could zone you out. He's shooting you. And then if you get close, like, you get a few hits, and if you don't, like, get your hits and then back up, he gun butts you with the Tommy gun, and then he pops off in your face. He laughs at you, and then he starts shooting you again.
I'm looking at images of this dude, too. Like, they gave him full-on, like, mullet. This is hardcore 90s. Butt chin.
Yeah, dog. This is like, I specifically remember this dude looking like one of the villains from the Steven Seagal movies. And I'm like, oh, that's it. Like, this dude is bad. He gave Steven Seagal, neck snapping Steven Seagal, a run for his money in the movies. Like, yeah, I'm in for it.
So what is Mr. X from Resident Evil 2 though? What is his deal?
Mr. X from Resident Evil. Mr. X from Resident Evil 2 was just a tyrant. He was just being another thing that they injected the T virus in, and was using to, kind of hide what they did in Raccoon City. He's worse than this dude because he has a rocket launcher. This dude just has a Tommy gun. So actually both of them give you problems.
So right? We got Mr. X versus Mr. X versus Racer X.
What's going X down? So that's from Speed Racer?
Speed Racer.
Oh dude, Speed that was my show. That was one. That's like OG anime.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with that. But Racer X, I'm gonna give it to Mr. X from Resident Evil 2 if we're picking out of those. But Mr. X from Streets of Rage, I don't even want to meet him in a back alley. He's gonna give me some mean like thumb burn, so I'm good. That was my guy.
All right, round three. My guy is not a guy at all. It is an AI, Cortana, Halo 5.
Oh, you're going with the little okie dokes, the ones who are your friends, and then then turn on you. And are you trying to get something out, man? Is there something below
this? Talk about something.
Snack. Yeah, you all right?
Zack Snyder.
We'll talk after the show.
Yeah, you think you know someone, and then they
get you.
Did they embezzle money from you?
Yeah, they did. You think that AI is not embezzling money from the government? You're living in a fucking fantasy world. Cortana. You play throughout the entire Halo series with Cortana by your side. I think it's Halo 4 when she starts getting rampant, and the Halo 4 is all about saving Cortana, even though she's lasted longer than any other AI has, and like she's just like it's time for an upgrade. And like no, like I need to save Cortana, and then Halo 5 is when she just snaps. But the thing is. She snaps, but in the way that she thinks she's doing the right thing. Like Doc Ock was one thing because he just got pushed over the edge. And he was her friend, and he got pushed over the edge. But Cortana, in her mind, quote unquote, she's doing the right thing because this is what she was supposed to do. She's protecting humanity, and protecting humanity means protecting humanity from itself. And that really we need AI to rule, and they know what's best. And it's like it's another one of those things where it kind of becomes heartbreaking because you're fighting your friend, you're fighting somebody who's been by your side for years, and you now have to like terminate them.
I'm not okay with this.
Do we remember where Cortana ended in the most recent one?
In Halo 5?
We just played it too.
I didn't just play it.
I mean, we played it recently.
I don't think we. Oh, we did.
We did it on Legendary. And I can't you know what? I've played 3 Halo games since then. I don't fucking remember.
Yeah, I don't remember where we leave off.
That's what's funny about like Halo, as you know, it's always billed as the FPS with the best story, but that story has gotten so convoluted and twisted. Like I feel like it doesn't really have that anymore. Like it's definitely epic.
I think it does. I'm just dumb.
I don't know. They feel epic and stuff, but ever since like I don't know, I'll say 3, and then Reach kind of came through, and then of course, ODST had a really fucking sick story too.
Well, yeah, that's because like you know, starting with Halo 4, it was a different studio,
343 Studios,
and then the mission is different. You know, you're not fighting the Covenant anymore or fighting the Flood. You are fighting them, but that's not the goal. The goal is to save Cortana and then to beat Cortana.
Yeah.
So and Halo 5, like not only are you going against Cortana, but then you got another team coming at you.
Yeah.
So with Luke Cage leading. So.
But now they're working
together.
Which
they used his. I can't remember. They switched it because they used his. But not his face, or they used his face but not his voice.
I think they used his face but not his voice.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Because he had scheduling conflicts with that. So you're looking at Mike Coulter's face the whole game, but it's not Mike Coulter's voice. Yeah. And it bugs me the whole time.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
It drives me nuts. But then, like, when you watch Nightfall, you know, he plays Locke. So it is his voice and his face. But yeah, they had to get a different voice actor because he had, like, scheduling conflicts with whatever he was filming at the time, which I think would have been Luke Cage.
Oh, okay. Good choice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, Cortana.
All right.
So my round three is going to top all of yours.
I don't think so.
It's amazing.
What you got?
Frank Fontaine.
Frank Fontaine?
From Bioshock. The very first Bioshock game. So have you guys all played Bioshock?
Nope.
Yeah. Oh my god. So I'm going to spoil this whole game for you right now.
Go for it.
Spoil away.
So if you haven't played this, I'm about to spoil the biggest twist in video game history right now. So you start out in Bioshock. You know, there's a plane crash. You find a lighthouse. You find a weird elevator in the lighthouse. You go down and you're like, there's this whole fucking city down here in the ocean. It's super weird. And clearly some shit has gone down because it's all gone to hell. Mm-hmm. You know, there was like a big ass civil war there. Well, you know, as much as you can have in a city like that. And you spend the whole game fighting against Andrew Ryan, who created Rapture, runs Rapture, is like the big bad. And along the way, when you first get there, you get, you know, there's a radio in the little elevator that you take down, or the bathysphere that you take down, and somebody's talking to you. And he's like, are you okay? Like, what's going on down there? And you keep that voice with you. That's somebody named Atlas. Mm-hmm. And you keep Atlas with you, and he guides you through Rapture, all in the hopes that, like, he's going to help you get through, and you're going to help him get his family, because his family is stuck somewhere in Rapture.
Okay.
And so you spend the whole game... he's helping guide you through. He's helping you survive. He's teaching you what plasmids are, which is the powers that you use. He's teaching you how to basically just how to survive. Mm-hmm. He is your only friend. He is the only thing you have in Rapture. So fast forward through the whole game, you get to the end, you get to Andrew Ryan, and you kill Andrew Ryan. Andrew Ryan actually makes you kill him. It's a whole thing. And then as soon as he does that, you know, Atlas comes over the radio again. And he changes his voice. And it turns out that Atlas does not exist. That person is not a real person. The family was never real. Because you actually watch them die earlier in the game. And it, like, sets you off because you've been trying to save them.
Yeah.
So Atlas turns out to be a man named Frank Fontaine, who was Andrew Ryan's, you know, business arch enemy. And, oh, I just kicked the dog. there's a dog under our feet. So Atlas turns out to be Frank Fontaine, who... It's really hard to explain in a short span of time, but the other thing that kind of gets you is that there's, you know, he has a cadence to the way he talks. He's got mm-hmm. a very thick accent. He's got a very good, like, a very distinct cadence in the way he talks. And one of the things, like, every time he asks you to do something, would you kindly do this? Would you kindly do this? Would you kindly do this? And it gets so often, and you hear it so much that you don't even hear it.
Yeah.
And then you realize at that point that would you kindly is a hypnotic phrase. And every time he says that, you have to do anything he says. So you realize that you've been essentially his slave the whole game, doing everything he told you to do because you couldn't do anything else. Oh. And when Andrew Ryan at some point figures that out along the way, that's what he says to you. He basically makes you kill him using that phrase, because his whole thing through the whole game is, and through making Rapture, is that a man chooses and a slave obeys. So his basically dying act is to show you that you've been a slave this whole time. You're not even a man.
Wow.
Jeez.
It's like all Usual Suspect.
And then you find
twist.
Out that you're essentially, like, you eventually find out you're also the illegitimate son of Andrew Ryan.
Holy crap.
And so, yeah. So when the game starts, you're on a plane and you crash, and it turns out that was all a setup. So, you know, Frank Fontaine this whole time had kidnapped you, hypnotized you, planted that phrase in your brain, sent you away from Rapture, brought you back to Rapture, making you think that you were somebody else.
Holy, like, crap.
It is the biggest payoff ever. It's so good.
That actually makes me want to play the game.
It's crazy. And I'm really bummed that you now know that, because that is the biggest, like, the best twist moment that I've ever seen in a game. But, like, the fact that you find out that your only friend, the only person you had this whole time, like, that was guiding you, that was being your, just everything that you had in this place, because you're like, I have nothing, I have no idea where I am, I don't know anything, I'm going to die here. And he's like, I got you.
Yeah.
We're all going to be okay. It's going to be safe.
Now, would you kindly walk this way?
It's crazy. It's ridiculous.
That's nice.
But that, like, hearing that would you kindly and realizing, oh my goodness. So he is absolutely, like, my top tier villain, like, even above Andrew Ryan. Like, Frank Fontaine is the villain in that game. The only thing I don't love about him is how they ended the game with him. Because in the end, he becomes, like, juiced up on plasmids, which are the powers that you use in the game. He becomes juiced up on those and basically just becomes this, like, giant, enormous, like, monster man. And it becomes, like, a gunfight, essentially. And so, like, his ending is very dissatisfying for what he is.
Yeah.
But in the lead up to that, it's so good. And even, that's like, cool. Even the beating him does get some stuff, because there's little sisters throughout the game that you've been freeing or killing, depending on how you play the game. But Yeah. So then they help you out, and it's a whole thing. But Frank Fontaine is easily the best. I think Bioshock is worth playing for that alone. It's phenomenal. So, Corey, you want to follow that?
Oh, well, thank you for making it nearly impossible to follow, but I will in another one, a game that had an incredible twist. So I guess I'm going to put it like as two people because it's like two villains.
Okay.
Darth Revan and Darth Malak from Knights of the Old Republic.
Revan, nice. Okay.
Yes. So
Revan's incredible.
Revan.
It's not Frank Fontaine, but.
Everything you just said and put it in space. Except not like as intricate.
I don't know. Revan's story is pretty intricate.
Revan's is sick. So basically, you guys know in the Sith world, it's always about usurping the your master.
Yeah.
And so in the game, you know, it's one of those you kind of don't have memory of stuff, and you're learning everything from the basics. You find out you got force abilities and stuff, and this Jedi Bastila is kind of getting you through the game. And the main bad in that is a guy named Darth Malak, and he just looks badass.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that, like, I don't know, you get to see a Sith villain in his prime with no pure intentions. He's just pure bad, trying to take over the galaxy. And, you know, as you're kind of chasing him down, you're learning about his master, who he defeated, who was Darth Revan. Mm-hmm. And in that fight, I think Revan chopped his jaw off. So he's got, like, this giant metal thing to, you know, because every Sith has to have something distorting his voice. So,
right.
Yeah, so he's got the look. He's sick. He's difficult to beat. And then, you know, this whole time you're kind of following the side story of Darth Revan and that he may still be out there. And then you hit the twist that you are Darth Revan. And so then it kind of turns into, like, it turns into a big revenge plot thing to where, depending on how you played the game, you're either Revan, who was, you know, now a Jedi going back to get, or you're going back to take your seat back as the. Yeah. So, I have to give it to him just on all accounts of badassity.
Yeah.
He's just so badass. And then, you know, just the Revan subplot and the fact that you are him. And then just, I don't know. I love that character. I love everything about it. So
they based some of Kylo Ren, like some of Kylo Ren himself, but definitely like his design and his mask was definitely a mixture of like Darth Revan and Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's cool that they at least add him in that way, because he's an awesome character.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, we finished up. We got our things out there. Did we want to go through and just kind of talk about maybe our favorite villains from other media or what makes a good villain, or even go through and do a honorable mentions?
That's what I was going to say. Do anybody have honorable mentions that couldn't make it into your top three but are worth mentioning?
I can come up with a few.
I definitely have one.
I mean, yours.
I was tough between this the Star Wars one and Shang Tsung.
Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
Mortal
Kombat. All right.
Yeah, because just the story of Mortal Kombat is actually good, and the whole tournament thing. I guess maybe I'm equating it too much from the movies, because I'll always have "Your soul is mine."
Yeah,
for sure.
Burnt into my head, and then just how he ended up being, you know, serving to Shao Kong, but had his own subplots going in the background. And then when he did the Deadly Alliance with
I forgot about that game.
What was his name? What was his buddy's name? Who did he partner up with? Quan Chi?
It was Quan Chi, yeah, the blue dude.
Yeah, so when Quan Chi and then him got together and then, like, we're back on top.
Yeah.
I just liked his trajectory as a villain, because he's number one in game one, and then he kind of takes a backseat and he's playable and stuff, and he's got the shape-shifting abilities, and then all of a sudden he makes a Deadly Alliance and he's back on top
back
again.
On top.
So I thought he was a sick villain and just really portrayed well in the movies too.
Definitely.
I had one that I couldn't. It doesn't rank with Frank Fontaine for me, but it also is really really good up there in Bioshock just has good villains. Well, Bioshock 1 and 3, not so much 2, has really good villains. Comstock from Bioshock Infinite is a really cool villain. Again, in like the way that he operates, and both in like his cadence and the way that he speaks, is just this crazy religious dude that created a whole city in the clouds for everybody to get away from, you know, the sin. And he's freaking crazy, but it's really good. So if you haven't played, I assume you guys haven't played BioShock Infinite either. So, because I'm not going to spoil that one for you. So I would recommend going and playing BioShock Infinite, because that's another one where like the story is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
BioShock 1 and BioShock Infinite just have wonderful stories. I think 2 was a big fall off in that, like, it's just forgettable.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I forgot playing it. Dang. I went back, like, a couple years ago. I was like, I don't know if I ever played BioShock 2. So I popped it in to play it, and I have all the achievements for beating it. And I do not remember playing it at all. I remember, like, 3 things from the game, and I was like, this is a quite literally forgettable game.
Forgettable game, yeah. So my honorable mention, it was kind of a cop-out, because I had to figure out a game that he would be in. He's playable in Star Wars Battlefront. it was Vader. Because when we first came up with this, we weren't sure whether we were going to limit it to video games or whether we were going to limit it to, or like have it be all media. So then when we limited it to video games, I was like, shit, what games? He's playable in Battlefront.
He's
so.
Playable in Battlefront, but he is the villain of The Force Unleashed.
The Force, okay, yeah.
And he's a incredibly fun boss battle in that game, too.
And he's another one that, much like Doc Ock, becomes a villain through just desperation. I mean, he's so afraid of losing, like, you know, losing everything, that he goes to the dark side and then just gets lost in it.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, I mean, like, through the movies, like, you hear, you know, Anakin Skywalker, like, Vader killed Anakin Skywalker. And in many ways he did. Like, you know, it's two different people. Who, you know... After he killed all those younglings. Even yeah, the younglings. I mean, he did some crazy shit. But he's just, like... He's just a badass villain. I mean, sitting there, like... One of the most memorable scenes of Star Wars is in the big board meeting in Death Star. And one of the guys is questioning him, and he just straight up just chokes him.
Oh, the Force choke,
The Force choke, you know?
Your lack of faith is...
Or even Rogue One...
Best Vader scene in all history.
I mean, like Vader was always like a good villain, but I was never really scared of him. You know what I mean? But Rogue One, when like it's just like fog and like smoke, and then
and it's just red. He shows up and just runs through everybody,
wrecks people. That was like one of the more terrifying things.
That's one of my favorite shots in the entire franchise.
Oh yeah, absolutely, hands down. So Vader would probably be my honorable mention.
So glad they gave him that scene too in that movie, because like that's the fantasy, because we all love the originals, but just they didn't have it back then.
No, you know,
they didn't have the skill, they didn't have the effects to pull off the shit that they can now. So when you get to actually see it, not in a video game, part of the actual canon, there's something special about it.
Totally. Honorable mention, Thanos. From Marvel Superhero.
I swear to God, I thought you were going to say Fortnite.
I ain't never played Fortnite a day in my life. Not a minute in my life.
Oh, man, but, you're better for it.
That's what I hear. But, that shout out to, like, the old Super Nintendo, like, one of the first Marvel games, super crappy. But Thanos was the villain in that. And, that game... as a whole, it's just hard because it's just not very good, a very well-made game. But after you suffer through it, and no lie, I used the Game Genie. But yeah, you get to the end, and that's where you fight the big purple dude.
What was the? Remember, Marvel versus Capcom had a really sick villain too when they mixed Magneto with.
It was that's Onslaught.
Onslaught is that an actual Marvel villain? Have they adopted him into there, or was he? Was he pure Marvel villain, or was he like a mix?
No, he's a Marvel villain. It's Onslaught is Professor X's like consciousness, like part of his consciousness inside of Magneto's like body.
I remember not knowing any part of the story, and at that age, I didn't even know anything about Marvel movies or comics. I just remember seeing that thing and being like, "That is what a bad guy is supposed to look like."
Yeah, it was freaking menacing.
It's muscles like, on muscles on muscles. Because back then, you had to have, like, in the 90s, you weren't a bad guy unless you had muscles on your muscles.
Oh yeah,
pretty much.
And then a little tiny helmet head, you know.
Yep.
And like big fucking things coming out of his back, like
all those sharp objects. Yeah, he just looks like a big.
Everybody knows geometric lines are villainous.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Chat also had a good one in there too. Someone gave a shout out to Pokemon, the last trainer you fight on Mount Silver, which was ended up being the character from Pokemon 1, Red. Yeah, so that one was
shit,
from Yoshi.
Yeah.
Had to give him a little shout out because that was one I forgot all about. He's sicker than the Elite Eight.
You
need to see him. Because when you win the Pokemon Master, you just sit on top of mountains and wait for the challenger to come.
That's all you do.
Any rapid fire favorite villains from other media?
Walter White.
Walter White.
The Riddler.
The Riddler?
Yep.
Jim Carrey?
No. Comics.
Oh.
Comics. Okay. Not Jim Carrey.
Come on.
Not Jim Carrey. Not
Heath Ledger, Joker.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why are we all thinking Batman now?
I know.
Batman is a good villain.
Two-Fate, no. Bane, no. I'm just
Bane?
Yoshi Producer says Vandal Savage from Young Justice.
Ooh, that's a good
Gigabyte.
One. Oh, Gigabyte from Reboot. You guys remember that?
Yep.
Reboot.
Yeah, is this from Reboot?
I thought Hexadecimal was more badass than Gigabyte, though. Man.
Megatron.
Venom.
Starkiller says Venom. Is Venom a villain, though, or is he an anti-hero?
He's totally a villain
starting out.
He starts as a villain, and then he becomes an anti-hero.
Yeah. Such good times. Emma, we didn't even get a chance to talk about your cosplay event. How did it go, and when can people see your recap? Because you've been doing YouTube videos, too, right?
I'm supposed to have been doing them.
Okay. All right.
They'll be up someday.
This was accountability right here. I said it, so now it has to happen.
They'll be up someday.
What was the topic?
Today was design altering and pattern altering.
Ooh.
So altering the design of a cosplay to fit what you want to look like and altering the pattern to get what you need out of it.
Ooh.
Which I'm bummed I missed it because I actually wanted to do this one because I've thought about, like, because I have zero experience in any of this, and so it's always been kind of like, hey, if I find a pattern that's kind of what I want, how can I make that into something?
Well, luckily, you know me, so we can just have
that's
a conversation.
True. And we can just,
you don't have to come to a class to speak to me.
I see Short Nerdy Man in our chat. I know he's a cosplayer too, man. If you're a cosplayer in the Sacramento area, and you're not already going to the event, this is an awesome event to not only learn about cosplay. You got the amazing Emma Skies leading the class, but you get other cosplayers who show up that you can talk about, bounce ideas, and it's just like another excuse to hang out at a really cool place that now has beer.
Yes.
So when's the next one, and what's the topic?
So that's a good question, because it is always the fourth Saturday of every month, but the fourth Saturday of next month, I think there is a convention I will be at, so we are working on a date for that, so keep an eye on Oblivion's Facebook page.
I'll do that one.
For, you're gonna lead it?
I'll lead that one.
I was thinking about doing it on makeup.
I could do that.
Perfect.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cosplay makeup with David Webb.
Cosplay makeup with David Webb. Yep. We got this, fam.
Sign me up just for the train wreck aspect of that.
So we will check out Oblivion's Facebook page. That's where we'll post when we decide what the class for next week is, or next month is going to be, and when we figure out what day it's going to be.
I got to give a shout out to UC Berkeley for having me back this week. There was a study from Longborough University over in Europe, and they're doing one in New York, and then they're doing one in California, and then they're going to other countries, and it was basically I'd never been a part of anything like this. It was cool. It was like a collegiate study for like a report they're doing on like basically social responsibility in the esports community.
Yeah.
And so they're doing one focused on players, one focused on like the industry itself and teams and things like that. And it was just another insanely enlightening thing to see that how nascent esports really is and how far we have to go. Because but what's good is that everybody there was kind of on the same page about, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're struggling with right now. And a lot of it was centered around things we talk about on the show.
Toxicity.
A lot. Toxicity was the number one. Whether esports is isolating or not. You know, like, you know, what are we telling kids that they should not do school and do stuff? Like, how are we keeping our messages right?
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of orgs that aren't paying people and just tons of crazy, interesting stuff. So I just want to thank them for being a part of that study and having me back.
Are we going to skip over the fact that you said nascent?
What is it?
Nascent.
Nascent? No, it's nascent. I went to college, Emma, this week.
I graduated college.
How long ago?
3, 2 years?
Oh, see, you forgot everything. I was just there last week. I learned it all.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in the Sacramento area, make sure to stop by Oblivion Comics and Coffee next Saturday, May the 4th, for our Star Wars trivia.
Yes.
5:30. You could sign up online. Visit the Oblivion Comics and Coffee Facebook page. Check the events section, and there is a link to the event where you could sign up. Get your table soon. We had a lot of fun doing the Game of Thrones one.
Yes.
This one is going to be equally as good. If not better.
Well, it's going to be on Free Comic Book Day.
And it's Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, so you show up, you get free comics.
And it's Oblivion's anniversary.
Oh, shit, that's right.
We got a lot of stuff going on that day.
They got a lot of stuff going on. So make sure to check them out. Check them out all weekend, but definitely check out the trivia night that night.
And what we're doing with it is kind of cool, too. It's been ending up more like a mixer. Like last time we had representatives from the SAC PC Gaming Group. We had a representative from the SAC Indie Game Development show up for a little bit. We had Macy Rose there, a cosplayer. So what we want to do is make these hangouts. So it's not necessarily about the competition. It's about getting out, hanging out with VGB. We had some listeners we'd never met before who came to check it out. So we really appreciate that kind of stuff. So Sacramento, let's go. Let's do this thing. Get out there, meet, go face to face, and let's just have a good time.
Test the Star Wars knowledge. Yeah. And there will be prizes.
There will be prizes.
So as much as it's not about the competition, it's very much about the competition.
It's 100% about the competition. That's the only thing that it's about.
No, it's about the fun. It's about the happy fun
time. Screw camaraderie.
I don't give a fuck about the friends you make along the way.
Jesus Christ.
I want to win.
Remember that thing I said about Emma being a villain?
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
All right, everybody. So that is the wrap-up music. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to check us out this Wednesday. Same place, different time. For the weekday podcast, for Emma Skies, Curtis Fisher, Corey Vincent, I am the real David Webb saying, we'll see you next time.